I'm excited about Jesus.
Yes.
Are you excited about Jesus? Put your hands up like this and say, I praise you, Lord.
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 See, that's Pentecostal, isn't it? Isn't that the way we should be doing it? Get excited. The praise the mighty God. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, on that banquet coming up on May 4th, I just want to encourage you, anybody can make it, or if you still want to be a sponsor, really consider doing that because you will be blessed. I know Pastor Karen. He got saved the very first one I started going over there. But I tell you what, he's a great speaker. He knows English very well. He doesn't need an interpreter. And the Lord is using him mightily in the Ukraine and Russia right now. And you know something, he's going to have stories that will probably encourage your heart, that challenge you, to let you know that God is on the move in this world, that it's not all bad. Even though there's things happening, we're getting close to the end, but God is doing some great things, and he's using men of God and over there like that to do it. And, you know, just it's one nice thing. I mean, when you get over there, I've preached the gospel in a Bible college for 2 weeks there, and the people that came were so overwhelmed with the things of the Lord. They sat there and they wept when you're just teaching the gospel, speaking about it. And I thought, just think how rich that is in their souls and how they soaked the word of God up like a sponge. They were just taking, I could feel it come right out of me as I was giving it forward. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be awesome if that was in America? Wouldn't that be awesome if it was in the church of Jesus Christ, in the church that we go to today, that people were hungry for God, that they just soak it up? And they get excited about it, but we lost that. And we wonder why we don't have the power and the anointing and the supernatural move of our God, because we really don't have it anymore. The desire is not there the way it should. And I want that in my life. I want that in your life. We need that in our life, don't we? And if you say, well, I'm already fired up, get more fired up.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you, if you can make it, be there. There's no charge, and if you do want to sponsor a table, let me or Bob Arth know, or Amy, and we just need to know, because it's coming up fast here pretty soon now. We just need to let the missionary know, okay? You still with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Because if I see you asleep, I'm going to walk up to you and wake you up. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Well, no, I will. Praise the Lord. The weakest Christian is my message for today. And I believe the Lord wants me to speak on that today, because we have Christians that will allow their weaknesses to hold them back from God wants to do. Right? And we want to be people that God can use every minute part of our lives, every area. And I want to see that in your life, my life, and everything. And we need to ask the Holy Ghost to look and to show us the weaknesses in our lives and how he can use them for his kingdom and his glory in the days we live. Amen?
Amen.
So that we don't miss a heartbeat at what God wants to do. So that's going to be my message. I pulled a story. I actually heard this man live when he gave it, but I went in and I printed out too. His name is Graham Cook, and he had a dream. It kind of fits into my message today, so I thought I'm going to read it anyway, because I think it's got a message to it anyway. He says, it's about people who make us weary, tired, and angry. Anybody ever make you weary, tired, and angry? When all we want to do is glorify the Lord with our lives. We need to learn to see these people as God sees them. Graham was given a ministry of the prophetic, and three men did everything in their power to discredit him. Graham called them the Three Stooges. They would find out about meetings he was going to have in different cities. These three men would go there a week before the meeting and meet the pastors and leaders of the churches to discredit his ministry and tell them not to believe what he says, and whatever you do, don't let him pray for you. They would even attend the meetings and take notes and heckle him during the meetings. They also put out newsletters for months talking against him. Graham said, Lord, please kill them and make it slow. Of which he was joking. They were persistent for over 2 years. Graham had a dream. He was in the throne room of God, sitting on the Lord's lap. The Lord said, would you like to see something? He said, yes. The Lord brings in this large piece of marble. It was about 16 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and 3 feet deep. The Lord says, what do you think of this marble? Graham said, it is the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. The Lord said, would you like to see something else? Graham said, sure. Jesus walked in the view, and Jesus struck his finger at least a quarter inch of an inch into the marble and began to trace the outline of a figure or a person. And when he finished, Graham remembers Jesus turning and giving him a half smile, kind of a mischief smile, and then he walked out, and the Father says to Graham, so would you like to see how this was made? I like how the Lord is asking questions. Graham said, yes, and the Father gave a command. Just then, three pairs of hands, each with hammers and chisels, began to chisel out the outline of this figure. The Father said to Graham, the work will go much faster if you encourage him. So he began to speak out loud, bless you, all power to you, and so forth. The Father, laughing, says, no, you're going to have to be much more stronger than that. Graham began to shout, and standing on the arm of the throne with his hand on the top of God's head, shouting and pointing his finger, saying, blessings, power, and strength. All around him, everyone was laughing. The angels, one angel in particular, is crying with laughter, beating his wings like beating the floor. There was absolute laughter and pandemonium everywhere. The work was finished. Graham remembered thinking, I'm absolutely exhausted. His throat was weak from shouting at the top of his voice. The Father said, so what do you think? Then Graham looked at the statue. It was so beautiful, he started to cry and said, Lord, it's astonishing. The Father said, yes, that's exactly how I see you. Graham said, really? The Father again said, yes, that's what I'm making you into. The Father asked Graham, now would you like to thank the sculptures? He said, yes, sure. That would be great. And out from behind the sculpture came these three men that had been following Graham around as he looked and remembered. He shouted so loud, that he woke himself up. Suddenly, he's in his bedroom shouting out loud. His wife is saying, what? What, Graham, talking incoherently? The Stooges, God, the statue. Graham said, I know what they are doing in my life. Suddenly, it came to me into his head. The Lord said, son, these men are your grace growers. I sent them to turn you into someone remarkable. Isn't that a cool story? So the people in our lives that come into our lives and we don't understand what their purpose is for life, many times God allows them to come into our life to bring strength into our life and to make us in the image of who he is, and to do that chipping away that God is sculpting us into the image of Jesus Christ. And he uses other people to do it. And you know something? As we go through life, we've been in different churches and everything, and we say, man, I don't like this person, or I don't like this person, or I can't stand this person, I can't stand that person. Well, I'll tell you what, leave that church and go to another church, and God will put another person identical to him in that church. See, I'm proof of it because I'm here in front of you guys. You know something? That's how the Lord works. He allows people. We learn from people, and we take it to prayer. Whenever somebody's hassling us or giving our time, we go to the Lord in prayer and seek the Lord and say, why, Lord, and ask him to intercede on your behalf to help you to become more like Jesus. See, it's all about Jesus. The Lord wants us like him. Amen? Amen. Every one of us has weakness. Would you agree with that? Is there anybody think you don't have a weakness in here? Please leave. We all... Oh, you're just getting water. Okay. See, when people have weaknesses, many times we'll ridicule people with weaknesses too. I know through growing up, I know my weaknesses. My wife knows my weaknesses. My daughter knows my weaknesses. You know some of my weaknesses after getting to know me a little bit. But I tell you what, there's people who will ridicule those weaknesses and try to bring you down through them. And if you're having problems with certain areas of your life, it sure doesn't help sometimes, does it? I mean, I've been teased when I've been young. I've been teased as I've been older. I've been called names and mocked and all these different things and weaknesses that other people had really great strengths in. And it hurts, doesn't it? Who says words don't hurt? Words hurt. And I tell you what, when you have a weakness, it can draw you into yourself, or you can allow God to bring it out. Well, I chose through my life that as I grew in the Lord, and especially when I got born again, that I said, Lord, I'm going to come out of my weaknesses. I don't care if people know what my weaknesses are, because that's who we are. And if I allow you to see my weaknesses, Satan has no way where to play and to tear me down, does he? He really doesn't. Don't give him any ammunition. Because, you know, even to be standing up here, I would have never dreamt in a million years, because one of my greatest weaknesses was speaking in front of people. Everybody still deals with that. Even professionals, movie stars will tell you that too, even before they go out. They're scared, they're nervous and everything. But I tell you what, one of my weaknesses that I allow God to use is standing up and speaking in front of people. It's one, just one example. And that's why I'm standing up here, not because I'm wonderful or gifted or anything like that. I'm up here because I have a weakness that I'm going to say, God, you can use me, and I don't care what people think. As long as you're using me, when you're done with me, you're going to get me out of the way. That's the way it's going to be. And so praise the Lord. It says in Psalm 6:2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. Did you hear David's cry? For I am weak. I'm weak. David cried these words to the Lord, and how many times have we said that ourselves? Lord, I'm weak. Has anybody ever said that to the Lord? Lord, I'm so weak. Have you ever said that? David knows what that was like too. And it says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. In other words, the spirit is always ready, but the flesh must be mortified and whipped into line with the will of God. It's got to be whipped in line. You know something? Our flesh is weak, but our spirits, they don't get weak. And many times we want to do something and we don't. You know, through the years, I've disciplined myself to go to church, like when they used to have churches on three times a week. When I first got saved, we were in church three times a week. And and Amy always says, Dad, I want to stay home and watch the cartoons. And I said, you can watch the cartoons some other time. We're going to church. I didn't want to go to the church because I really wanted to stay home and watch the cartoons too, to be real honest with you. I like Sylvester the Cat. You know, I like all these. I like the Looney Tunes. And they always came on Wednesday nights or a night you had to go to church. But you know something? I did like they do in the cartoons. I swatted myself and said, you're going to church. And that's what we have to do. We have to do that. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body. This is Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. That means a reprobate. The Greek word for keep in this verse is hupopiazo, meaning to strike one under the eye, to beat black and blue. That's what he's talking about there. This was Paul's explanation how he was boxing. Figuratively speaking, he was not shadow boxing, but beating his body black and blue to bring it into slavery, lest he should become a castaway. Literally, he beat himself. He did it regularly. He beat himself into subjection. He had weaknesses in his life, and many times when we allow those weaknesses to come out, they'll control us. They really will. And that's what Paul was doing. Paul considered his body an enemy with which must contend in mortal combat to keep it under control by self-denial and abstinence and sever mortification. That's what we need to do. If there's a weakness in your life, you need to bring it under subjection to you. You know, I want to encourage you, if you've never fasted, fast. If you have a weakness and you say, I can't seem like I can get victory over this area or discipline myself into it, I tell you what, I challenge you to fast sometime. I remember when I did it, that's when I found out that I got more victory over some of the weaknesses and desires in my life that I was able to get control over when I learned to say, no, body, you're not having any food today. That's tough, especially when you're on the road driving and something noontime, and you think, oh man, there's a McDonald's, and you're hungry and your stomach's growling. And it looks so good. You can pull the odors right out of the air into your car. You can taste them, and you're sitting there and just, you know, and then I got to drive by because I'm fasting. And then day two goes by, same thing. Day three goes by. I do it up to a week, and I tell you, you go by those places, and you just want to, the old flesh is screaming, feed me, feed me. But I kept saying, no, you're not going to be fed. I'm going to glorify God and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and to speak into my heart the direction and what God wants to do to change me to become more like Jesus. And when I do that, I learned that I got victory over other weaknesses in my life too. Because, see, my wife will be verified. There's a time if I miss breakfast, I was one mad dude. I love breakfast, man. I never missed any meals. And now I can say, if you know, we don't have to eat today. It's easy for me. I believe that's because I fasted. I learned to control my body, that it can't have everything it wants. I stop it. No, you're not going to have that. No, you don't need to do that. It's like Paul. No. No, don't look at that. You have to literally bring yourself under subjection in order to control the weaknesses in your life. Romans 8, 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." What a great word the Lord gave us, right? Huh? If we mortify the flesh, he says, you're going to live. See, there's some Christians that aren't truly living and having a joyous time living for Jesus because they're not mortifying the flesh. They're just allowing habits and things and desires to be control of their life, and they really haven't tasted the goodness of God and how great and wonderful he is and the fun of being a Christian. People say, being a Christian, that's not fun. Yes, it is. Yeah. It's exciting. Terry, verify it. It's fun being a Christian that when you got illness that strikes you, you got somebody to run to. And you can pray and say he's got the power to change your circumstances. Right, brother? Yeah. It's fun being a Christian when you can still laugh and have fun and be a Christian. Jesus did. I have no doubts about it. And I tell you what, I don't have to be a sad sack to live for Jesus. And by the way, I like the cartoon Sad Sack too. Going on, Luke 7:28 says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than the John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." See, this generation of Christians, more than any other, has sought to make God into his image. And that's very, very true. We're trying to make God into our image. They've created a Savior who's little more than a buddy today. His will for them always seems to be exactly what they want, and he's never disturbed over their willful sin. That's the mentality that's coming into a lot of lives. Let's be clear here. Weaknesses is not repeated willful sin. Did you hear that? Weakness is not a repeated will of sin. If you are consistently, willfully making choices in opposition to God's word, you're a sinner and you're not a saint. Ouch. Amen? It's ouch. Those who habitual sin. Are you truly living for Jesus and are you truly born again? We got to ask ourselves that. But if you are sincerely attempting to serve God, this message is for you. If you're sincerely wanting to live a righteous life for Jesus, this message is for you today. Praise the Lord. No matter how many times you have fallen or failed, Romans 7:19 says, "For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." How many have ever fought that fight? You always see you slap yourself in the forehead and said, "Lord, why did I do that again?" I've done that myself many times. I slap myself, say, "Lord, why did I say that or do that? I'm working, Lord. I don't want to do it." And you know something? When that happens, I want to encourage you, don't lay on the floor with your thumb in your mouth. Okay? Some Christians are looking for an excuse to backslide. Some people are looking for an excuse not to be committed to Jesus, and they'll look and say, "Well, see, Lord, I'm weak." You know something? What you do is you get up off the floor, take your thumb out of your mouth, and clean yourself off and say, "Lord, I'm going to go another mile with you. I'm going to work to get victory over this thing if it kills me." That's what we do. And then we grow maturely in the Lord. That's how we do it. Psalms 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." See, every one of us has a weakness. There are physical weaknesses, emotional weaknesses, relational weaknesses, financial weaknesses, intellectual weaknesses. There's all kinds of them out there. There are many things your body can't do, and we have all different kinds of weaknesses. The real issue is not, do I have a weakness, but what am I going to do with my weaknesses? What am I going to do with them? That's a good question to ask ourselves, and when we can identify our weaknesses and know our weaknesses, what can I do with those? What we normally do is deny them, or we'll defend them, or we'll excuse them, or we'll resent them, and most of all, hide them. There's many people that are hiding their weaknesses, and that's when Satan really has got them exactly where he wants them. Whether good or bad, that's where he's got you, when you hide them. It's better to expose them, then he has no weapon against you. We don't want anybody to see our weaknesses, do we? We don't want them to know. It's hard. Then God comes along and says, you know what I want to do with your weaknesses? I want to use them. Isn't that an incredible God? I want to use your weaknesses. You'd think he'd want to throw us away. Lord, I'm no good to you. How many times have I heard that and I've said it in my own life? Lord, you can't use me. I'm no good to you. I'm too weak. The brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're so talented, gifted, wonderful. Man, those are the people you want to use. You don't want to use somebody like me. I have no education. Hey, I got a GED. I dropped out of high school. I did. I have no college degree, nothing. But you know something? God has brought me this far in life. I got a job, I make a living, and I'm a pastor of a church. Amen. Now that isn't me, that's God. Amen. You know something? A lot of millionaires that are up sitting up in corporations are GED people. They really are. There's a lot of pastors and churches, big churches throughout this country, who have never gone to Bible college. But see, God saw their weaknesses and he said, I can use that man or that woman. I can use their weaknesses more than I can somebody is so confident in who they are that their pride and their arrogance stops me from moving amongst the people. Not that God can be stopped. But I tell you what, that's why whatever weakness you have in your life, commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. That doesn't make sense. You say, we think God only wants to use strengths. It says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'm going to say this one because it's one of my favorite scriptures. I'm going to add to that, even though I didn't have it down here. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Amen? That's what we do. That's what we do. But see, the Lord said it right here. His thoughts and his ways are so much higher than ours, and many times God thinks contrary to it, but we have to understand, we serve a God of the impossible. When we're in our puny little thinking heads, they're thinking one way, God said, he's holding the world, though. Universe in his hands by his word, and we think we can think I'll thank God. And if you look like your life is worthless and puny and nothing can ever be used of it, you need to go to the Savior. You need to go to King Jesus and drop on your knees and say, Lord, I don't know what purpose my life is worth to you, but here it is, all the warts and everything, and watch what God will do in your life when you commit it to him. See, we're missing out. Satan has duped us all, and we got to realize those weaknesses you have are the very thing that God can use to build his kingdom and to glorify his name and to bless your life. Praise the Lord. You still with me? How many know God's smarter than you are? Huh? The way you think he should work is often the exact opposite of the way he really works. See, we want to hate our enemies and to the moon, Alice. That's Jackie Gleason, by the way. And you know, Jesus says, love your enemies. What? Love them? They just hurt me deeply. Jesus says, love them. And you know, I never understood that as a brand new Christian. That always bothered me. How could Jesus tell me to love my enemies when they hurt me? And then I realized Jesus, the Holy Spirit, speaks to me and says, I loved you and while you were my enemy. I died for you and while you were yet a sinner, rebelling against me. And so he wants me to be like him, so he wants me to love my enemies too. It's hard to do though, isn't it? I won't say that's an easy one. The Lord says, I don't want to work around your weaknesses. I don't want to work in spite of your weaknesses. I want to work through your weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 1, 27-29 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confine the things which are mighty. and base of things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Isn't that incredible? And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I think it's an incredible thing, because even like when I come here Sunday mornings, I depend totally upon the Lord. You should come up here sometime. I mean, you have to depend upon the Lord. And he gets all the glory. I take no glory. I can't. No pastor, no evangelist, no missionary, no speaker, no teacher, no whatever can take glory for anything, because it's all about Jesus. He's the one who's got the power to change and speak into the heart of man and woman. Amen? The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, because the cross is looked at as weakness. Because the world doesn't realize the power there is in that cross. It looked like defeat to even Christians, but I tell you what, it's the most powerful cross there ever was. But it brings about great strength and power regarding those who accept the finished work of the Christ. See, when we accept it is when it takes on power to our lives. God purposely works through weak people. Why? Because it shows his power. See, God's not impressed with the strength that we have. He works through weak people. Because when he's working through weak people, you know it's God working, don't you? He really does. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Did you hear that? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. By his spirit. See, that's good news, because most of us are not extraordinary people, are we? Most of us aren't. We don't have bodies like the models. We don't have extraordinary intellect. We're just normal, ordinary, average people. God says, that's okay, because I don't choose to work through natural strength. I choose to work through natural weakness so that my power can shine through. That's why I found out, even in my own life, when I first started taking the challenge and allowing God to work through my weakness, that I saw God moving through my weakness more than anything that I had strength in. And that he used my life in a way I never ever thought he would. And it's incredible. 1 Corinthians 4:9-10 says, we have an example here in this scripture of humility and suffering. In verse 9 it says, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." The more popular the church is, the further away from God it is. And I believe that too. Why do I say that? Because true believers are despised. We're despised. The world hates us. And when the world can say that, look at the church is so popular, people are hoarding into it. Why? Are they moving closer to God? Because the Bible says it's foolishness. And we're despised. And we're hated. So I would say that adds up pretty well there. And again, when we talk about weakness, we're not talking about sins or character flaws that you can change, like overeating or impatience or greed or laziness and those types of things. Weakness is any limitation in my life that I inherited or cannot change. There are all kinds of limitations, like physical defects you're born with, external circumstances you cannot control, unexpected financial setbacks, relationship pressures within your family, emotional tendencies you are predisposed toward. Some talents are completely beyond our ability. See, I can't play the piano. I'd love to, but it's beyond my ability. I can't figure it out.
Come on, neither can I.
Now I can sing, but I won't know that till I get to heaven. But I'm sure I'm a great singer, and I miss my calling. I don't know, because I love to sing. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The things about clay pots are they break easily. They are indestructible. But more than that, every clay pot has inherited design flaws. It's imperfect. There's not one of you sitting in here that's not is perfect. Not one of you. Not me. None of us are. That's why we should never allow others to influence us or stop us from being used of the Lord. Because there's nobody perfect. You know, even when I've been in business meetings, I flew to Chicago one time and I had to go to this two business meetings, and all of the guys, all of the people in there, there was like 100 and some service managers throughout the country through our organization, and they asked me to be the speaker. I've never been in the automobile industry, and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? But the head guy asked me to come out and do it because of the type of work I was doing here. And so I flew out there, and I remember sitting on the bench, and the door was in there, and I peeked through the thing there, and I saw all those service managers sitting in there. And I felt really weak at that point. I thought, Lord, who am I? What am I doing here? Why am I here? And then I had to kick those thoughts out of my mind and realize that, Lord, I'm here because you want me here at this time of my life right now. I don't know what for. Maybe it's my continence. Maybe it's the way I'm going to present or whatever. But, Lord, I'm going to let you use me in there today. And when that door opened, that was tough. All those eyeballs coming at you. The most ignorant guy in the whole room, and maybe stupid guy in the whole room too. I don't know. Take your pick. But I walked in there, and all these educated guys were in there that were servicemen. I stood up there, and here I started to speak and to give them I gave them an outline of what I do and what I thought that they should do in their cities and their communities. And when I got done, I had just about all of them walk up and want to hire me. I could have had a job anywhere in the country. But you know something? If I would have never went in there, I would have never realized that God could use me. And God used my life to touch because I was able to witness to some. And that's what we do. We allow our lives to be used. We're just ordinary containers, but we have a great God. Someone wrote a book entitled, God Uses Crackpots. You're the kind of person God wants. I'm the kind of person God wants. The Bible not only tells us to admit our weaknesses, it tells us to be thankful for our weakness. What? Thankful? I don't like these weaknesses. They're embarrassing and I hate them. Why do I want to be thankful for them? Why do I want to be? You got to be kidding. I want to come to church and take a magic pill and get rid of my weaknesses. Amen? How many would like to get rid of your weakness just with a magic pill? I would. I don't want you to tell me to be grateful for them. I want to be free from all of them. That's what I want. Why in the world would anybody be thankful for their weaknesses? Because there are many benefits. Weaknesses are actually blessings in disguise. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of a God is stronger than men. And you can go further into that scripture. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which would believe it. See, to preach is foolishness, God says, the foolishness of preaching. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What is your weakness? God is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I can hear Paul saying that. Because he's watched God literally move in his life. Therefore, I take pleasure. Did you hear that? Paul said, I take pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You won't know the power of God until you allow God to use your weaknesses. You won't know how incredible it is for God to move in your life. I experienced it so many times in my own life as I stepped out into different ministries and things, not even knowing what I'm going to do and not having the talent. I've stood and I've spoken in front of pastors that were brilliant pastors and evangelists, and I was one of the speakers that said, Lord, how did I get here? And you know your heart's up in your throat like this here. I want to leave. And you know, I get up there, I told the one pastor one time in Alexandria at Lake Geneva, he was sitting next to me, he's a guest speaker there, and very bright and talented pastor. And we started sharing back and forth. And I said, well, I'm really nervous, man. I got to get up and speak before you. You know, I sit in the stage and let him know I was weak. And he said, he was a humble guy, thank the Lord. He says, don't worry about me. I'm just an ordinary guy. So I got up and gave my message and everything, and I sat down, and he bent over to me and said, and you said, you're intimidated. You know something? It was God. It's God, because that was my brother in Christ anyway. We shouldn't tear each other's down because of our weaknesses. We should encourage each other's in our weaknesses. Those things that seem weak to each of us, we should come along our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, God wants to use you. So what if I can't do things as perfect as somebody else and my words get scrambled? Look at President Bush. But God made him the President of the United States. He was not a great speaker. But you know something? That was a weakness of his too. And we look at the weaknesses in our life and just allow God to use us. Because in eternity, we're going to find out why God allowed us to walk through earth with certain weaknesses. That's Lynn theory again. I believe that. He's going to show us things in our life. This is why I allowed you to have this area, because it kept you humble. If I allowed you to be strong in this area, you would have walked away from me. Who knows what it, you know, I'm just. Being thankful for our weaknesses guarantees God help, and it also causes you to value others. I value all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think I'm better, smarter, greater, more talented, nothing of anybody in here, because I'm not. We're all God's creation, those that are born again, Bible-believing, pew-jumping, devil-chasing, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. See, you make a strong rope, not by making one solid cord, by putting a lot of strands together. See, together we're strong. And the weaknesses I have, God may use one of you and the weaknesses to help prop up my weakness, but it'll make your strength come through that makes me strong too through God. That's the value of unity and the value of a church family. We're all weak in a different ways and in different times, but we're strong together. We're strong together. I'm weak in finance. I'm not a Mr. Brilliant guy with numbers, but some of you are. And God uses you to help me to get through the sign. You know, a lot of great executives, too, will tell you that they have a lot of weaknesses and they depend upon the people that they hire around them to prop them up, to make them look like they're wonderful because they're weak in all those areas. They're not such hot shots as you think a lot of times. They put their pants on the same way as you and I do. And I learned to do that when I go into meetings and stuff, never to get fearful of them because they're no better than I am. They're just human beings just like I am. Oh, they may have big educations and know all the right words and how to speak them and all that stuff, but that still doesn't intimidate me because I know who I am in Christ. Amen. I have Christ's esteem. Greater is he that is me than he that is in the world. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Romans 14:1 says, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. See, we welcome into this fellowship, don't we, into Crossfire, anybody and everybody. We don't welcome people to come in and live a sinful lifestyle. We're going to pray conviction will set up on them. They come born again. But I tell you, we welcome people in, and if they're weak people, we want them to come in. We want to encourage them and help them to become strong, don't we? Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, the strong and enlightened ones must tolerate and bear with the weaker and less enlightened brethren until they too become strong with faith in the knowledge. If there's somebody in here that's struggling in their life and they're weak in the faith, I don't throw them away. You don't throw them away. We encourage them to come alongside and let them watch your life. You see why it's so important to be strong in the Lord if you're strong in the Lord and not to compromise? Because there's weaker vessels around us and they look at you. They may not even tell you that they're watching you, but they're watching your life and they're saying, oh Lord, if I could be like that sister, if I could be like that brother, if I could worship like that person, if I could be like this person, if I could do like this person, if I could live a holy life like this person or that person, Lord, then I know that you're with me. And see, they depend on the strong sometimes. And then when we know, if you are strong in the Lord, you need to look around for the weak and encourage them. You're going to make it. God can help you to become strong in the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Can you all say amen with me?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 11, 29, 30 says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities, Paul said. Paul learned to glory in his infirmities so that the power of Christ could rest upon him. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23 says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker, therefore, with you. See, Paul did everything in his power to be like those he tried to win, except to enter into sin with them and compromising the gospel. See, he was careful not to cause a weaker Christian to stumble in any area of life. Paul was very concerned. He's concerned. He had eternal values at his sight, his spiritual sight at all times. And he worked hard to that. That's why he beat himself in his weaknesses so that he would not compromise and to be the person God wanted him to be. The greatest thing that weakness does for us is it gives us ministry. God puts us on earth not just to live for ourselves, but to help other people. He doesn't want us selfish. Your greatest ministry will flow out of your weaknesses. When you allow your weaknesses to be used by God, God will bless and touch and encourage other people. Amen? Your greatest life message is going to come out of your deepest hurts. I know that the things that I've hurt in the deepest and I've shared with people, and when I used to do it, the other church I was attending, when I'd shared weaknesses and hurts that I've had in my past, you wouldn't believe that people would come up to me and say, Lynn, thanks for sharing that. That's what I'm going through right now. But you know, I'm encouraged in my spirit because, Brother Lynn, you made it. So now I know I'm going to make it. And see, I was willing to share my weakness in order that the Lord could minister to somebody else and not just hoard that weakness and that hurt within myself, but to let it out and to share it with others. The thing you're most embarrassed about, the thing you're most ashamed of, the things you don't want anybody else to know about, God wants to use that to encourage other people. Hebrews 11, 32 and 34 says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses were they made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God always uses weak people. He turns weakness into strength. Moses, anger was Moses' greatest weakness. He killed an Egyptian, broke the tables of stone, smoked the rock twice. Yet only he and Jesus were called meek in the Bible, which means anger under control. David lusted after another man's wife, committed adultery with her, then had the man killed, but later he was called a man after God's own heart. See, when God turned that weakness into strength. Abraham was called the father of faith, but his greatest weakness was his lack of faith. One time he had his wife pretend to be his sister because he doubted that God could protect him from the enemy who wanted her. Gideon, when God wanted Gideon to become Israel's deliverer from the Midianites, he called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon was hiding from the enemy at that time, but God still used him. Peter, Jesus called Peter a rock, but he was anything but stable. He was impulsive and violent, and he even denied the Lord. But look at him on the day of Pentecost, after God turned his weakness into strength. Thousands come to Jesus through this man of weaknesses. Jacob was a deceiver, a manipulator, and a schemer. He made one mess after another and then ran from it. He ran his entire life until the night that he wrestled with God. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And God said, okay, I'll bless you. He touched Jacob at the greatest point of his strength, the thigh that helped him run. Forever after, he would walk with a limp. Why? So he couldn't run from his weaknesses anymore, and so he would have to constant reminder to depend on God. Pain sensitizes us to hurts of others. If you want to have a Christ-like ministry, that means sometimes other people are going to be helped, encouraged, and even healed by the wounds in your life. Jesus Christ received wounds in his body, and we benefited from it, didn't we? Amen? What's the bottom line? Stop using your weakness as an excuse and so why, and to why you can't do anything for God. Don't use them for excuse anymore. It may be the very thing he wants to use to bring glory to himself. Joel 3:10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Say that with me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Say that with me. Let the weak say, we are strong. Say, I am weak, but I'm strong in the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do some things through Christ which strengthens me. All. Remember that little big word? All. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isaiah 40, verses 29 and 31. He says he gives power to the faint. What's he give us?
Power.
And to them that have no might, he increases strength. If you need strength, you go to the Father and say, Father, I need strength for this day. I need strength for this situation. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, and I looked up the wait. I thought that's an interesting word. The wait there is Hebrew. For wait here is quava, to bind together by twisting, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently for, to wait or up on. So we have, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You might say, but I have fallen and failed. I'm so weak. I've failed and I've fallen. I'm so weak. Did you know Satan comes along and whispers? Huh? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're weak. You think you're weak now. You're going to get weaker as time goes on. There's nothing you can do about it. And he makes you defeated before you even, and you give up on your weaknesses. But when you say, Lord, here's a weakness right now. I don't know if I can handle this situation. I don't know if I have the strength to go another moment of time. That's when you go to the Word of God and depend upon the Scriptures. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Pastor Jim, would you agree?
Agree?
That man, he encourages me. I've heard him, and he encourages me. You stand on the Scripture, on your healing message you gave at our meeting. It was incredible. But you know something? It made me realize the power of the Word of God, that the weakness that you and I have, we take the Word and apply it to that weakness and watch God use us. Amen? And you'll be walking in victory. You'll be a conqueror. You'll defeat the enemy because he's an already defeated foe, and he only gets us through deception. That's the only way. Micah 7:8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. If there's somebody saying, ha, 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 you're fallen, you're weak, no good, whatever, you can say, but I will arise. I will arise. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and the Lord's light is upon me. See, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. When you feel at your weakest moment of time, get on your knees. Satan gets fearful. When you get on your knees and you look up and you cry to God and say, Lord, I'm so weak right now, I can't hardly lift my arms. Satan's fearful because you're talking to the one who says, I will give you and increase your strength. Amen? My last scripture I close with, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's the word of God. Be strong in the power of his might. That's what we do. Don't be afraid to shout like me sometimes either. Amen?
Amen.
You got to shout the devil out of your life. And sometimes it just feels good. Let's all please stand and bow our heads. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I believe in my heart and know in my heart, is with us today. I just Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of us. And right now he's here. And you know something? He's been reading your email. He's been reading your heart and your spirits. And there's somebody in here, there's someone or more than one person right now that's been struggling with your weaknesses. And you need to come up here for prayer today. And you need to commit him to the Lord. Brothers, I want you to step up here and pray with me. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, I've been living with weaknesses and I want to surrender them to you today, Lord, and watch the supernatural power of God in the days ahead begin to use your life in a magnificent way you never thought possible, I want you to come up here right now. And we got brothers up here going to pray with you. Holy Spirit, move on the people right now and bring them up. We want to be a church. See, I believe that God has raised this church up right now. I believe the people that are coming to this church aren't here by accident, but I believe the people are in this church are a remnant church that God is going to use in a supernatural way in the days ahead. I believe that. I know that. Come on. There's at least two more people that need to be up here, and the Holy Spirit knows who you are. Praise the Lord. I'd like some ladies to come up and pray here too, if you would, please. Ruth, Lydia, praise the Lord. Let's have some guys come and surround our brothers and sisters here, and let's let them know that God's going to do a supernatural work. Amen? Praise the Lord. You pray with them, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and you pray with the people that you're around too in agreeance with us as we're unified together right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And right now, Lord, every one of us standing here are imperfect clay pots. We have imperfections in our lives, Father. And Satan has used those imperfections to tear us down, to stop us from being used for you, Lord. But you allow those imperfections to be used for your glory. You want those imperfections to be used for your glory. You want these that are up here today that have felt these weaknesses and lived in these weaknesses to see and hear and sense and move and live in your strength, Lord. And you desire to bring a newness into their life that they've never experienced before, Father. And you're going to put a Holy Ghost boldness upon their spirits to be used for your glory, Father. And we take authority over every lying spirit, over every demon of weakness, of lies that would come against their minds right now. We command them to let go in Jesus' name of their spirits and their minds right now. And Lord, we would ask that your precious Holy Ghost power would move within them right now and give them encouragement and hope and strength and direction and purpose, Father, through the anointing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we believe that you're supernaturally moving upon the people you brought forward today. And Lord, you are the mighty God. Nothing is impossible for you. We don't have to feel it. We don't have to think it. We just know it because your word said it. That when we are weak, we are strong. You said it. We stand on your word, not on what we think or what we feel. We stand on the word, the powerful, mighty, written word of God. And I speak that into my brothers and sisters' lives right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank him. Thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.